This podcast is a product of the Hyper RPG Podcasting Network. Visit hyperrabbitpowergo.com to learn more.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Opening Shift Podcast. We are officially open for business. Or something.
Well, yeah, we need a gavel.
Yeah,
or something.
We do. That felt too official. How's it going, that? Everybody?
What did you do?
I just hit the table.
Like it was a gavel, you know?
Let's take it again. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Opening Shift Podcast. We are officially open for business. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, that was it.
That was good. I think we got our new intro, y'all.
I think there it is, yeah.
How's it going, everybody? This is the Opening Shift Podcast. If you haven't watched or listened yet, this is our second episode, and this is just sort of our chance for our crew. We get here a little earlier on Mondays, and we typically sit over there in the kitchen, and we talk about all the cool stuff we did over the weekend, which is usually really nerdy junk. And it's like, oh, why don't we just put this on camera? Because our audience is also into nerdy junk, just like us. So here we are, talking about nerdy junk.
Yeah, nerdy junk, man.
We'll start off with, what are you guys watching?
Yeah, Nyan, what are you watching?
What shows are you guys watching?
I'm not watching anything.
Have you seen a good movie this week?
Well, I did watch Tales from the Hood.
Here's the thing.
Saturday, I was pretty... What's a good word for this?
You were under the influence.
I was under the influence.
It's legal here to say.
Well, that's true.
Naeem was doing very legal things.
Yeah, I was very.
He was recreationally doing things that you can do here.
And Tanae and I just started watching Tales from the Hood 2, which is new apparently, and I was like,
Tales from the Hood 2?
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
What?
It's a new. If you ever watched the original, you should watch
it.
I'll
be back.
Yeah, it was something else to
That's
watch
cool.
that while under the.
Rate it, scale of 1 to 5, from what you saw.
Probably a 5.
Really? Okay.
While under the influence.
Sure.
Yeah.
So if you want to get under the influence and then watch it, it's guaranteed a 5-star time.
I imagine that. I can see that.
Dude from Keith David. He's like. One of the big guys in
there. No shit.
Yeah. And if you don't know who Keith David is, he's from Gargoyles, or he played in Mass Effect as well. Yeah. I was all into it once I saw him appear in the film. So, yeah.
What are you watching, dude?
I just started this anime called High School of the Dead, which is actually, Zombie Wonderland is what it's called.
Of course.
Excuse me. And it's really, really good. It's a horror anime, and it starts off like what. It's like it's so weird how it shifts tones like instantaneously. Mm-hmm. It's like it starts off like this, like it's this really preppy girl, this super happy girl. It's like, I'm this girl and I like life and I like going to school. And then there's like this moment and you're like, oh my God, it's just holy crap. So I was like, I'm really enjoying. I'm like using it to catch up on some anime. So I started that, and I also started. God, these names are so ridiculous. Someone loves Bunny Senpai, and it sounds. I literally watched the first episode of it. I can't remember the full name, so forgive me. But it's not what you think. It's actually a really, really good show that deals with like human psychology and stuff like that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Megalo Blazemon in our chat room says High School of the Dead, which is what you were talking about.
No. I said High School of the Dead. That's a different anime.
Gotcha. So what were you saying?
I was saying, I think it's Zombie Wonderland.
Yeah. I might give that a shot.
Yeah.
I've been watching the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
Yeah.
I'm glad you recommended it because I'm liking it a lot, but I'll talk more about that later.
Okay, so.
That's actually going to be my topic this week, as I got some spicy news about the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
Yeah.
Some pretty hot news, if you will. Some pretty steam. I'm trying to think of a good hell word. A flaming hot topic. I don't
Inferno?
Know, dude.
Inferno?
No. Let's move on. This is stupid.
Alacious?
No. Help me out here. What do you guys? What games are you playing?
What game? I started the new game this week. It's not a new game, but it's kind of an older game from the guys who made Bastion. From that studio, it's called Transistor.
Oh, okay. I'm familiar.
Yeah. They came out on Switch, and I've been playing that this weekend. It's really, really good.
That's on Switch now?
It came out, like, last week.
Yeah, that's a fun game.
I love that studio. And this game, it has a... If you ever just played Bastion...
It's really good.
It's really, really good. In this one, it's similar, but it's different. It's like still unique enough, and it has the narration where it's like, hey, it's about, I think it's her boyfriend or love interest, and he's like dead in the beginning, and like, but then it's him narrating her life, like, hey, Red, like get over there, like watch out, there's some guys coming. And it's like all through the narration of him talking
That's
about
cool.
Red. It's really, really cool. I'm really digging it.
So. I really like the music.
This is great.
Yeah,
the music. You played it?
Yeah. I have it.
So, oh yeah, yeah. It's a great game. I never played it before, so I'm stoked.
What are you playing, Naeem?
I've been going most of my time this weekend was Red Dead Redemption 2. I actually got a good chunk of it.
That checks out.
Playing time with it, as well as I got a Switch, so I was playing Donkey Kong for a good chunk of that, and World of Warcraft. So
Naeem got a Switch. Big news. I don't know if you heard.
Yeah, he opened it in my car.
Yeah.
Oh, what? So I was the last one to hear. Okay.
I was like, I need to open this now while we went to go get tacos, but yeah.
Yeah. I've been playing a game that I don't think I'm allowed to talk about yet. It's under NDA. I don't even know if I can say the name of it. If I can, maybe Zach will come out and give me the go-ahead, but yeah. It's very good, and I'm super excited to play it on stream, but it's currently under NDA. But the big news that I do have that I can say is that my gaming PC that I built 2 years ago, and I've been making upgrades on it and stuff as I go, about like 6 months ago, it just stopped working, and I did all of this troubleshooting to find out, like, I was getting this blue screen that was basically this uncorrectable error, and I did all this troubleshooting to find out that it was my processor was the issue. Mm-hmm. So I've been saving up for a new processor, and this weekend, like, I finally bought this new processor, and I installed it. And it still didn't work. So then I had to, like, go back and re-troubleshoot everything. And I, like, finally, after hours and hours of work, I found that it wasn't the processor, but it was the processor mount on the motherboard.
Oh, my
God.
That
was where the issue was, so I had to get a new motherboard.
Yeah.
But now my gaming PC is back up and good to go. And luckily, it was a motherboard that was the issue and not the CPU, because those are, like, way cheaper.
Motherboards
are way
cheaper.
I'm going to return that CPU. Very happily at Fry's because of their 30-day return policy.
Oh, yeah, baby. Yeah.
I got to clean off all the little thermal paste on it and pretend I never used it. Sorry, Fry's, but I'm going to scam you.
Oh, I just remember something. Sorry, the anime is Zombieland Saga.
Zombieland Saga?
I was combining two zombie animes, but it's Zombieland Saga. Is the one.
You claim to like these things, but you never remember the name.
The names are always, like, so similar. I'm getting old is what that's saying.
What are you guys listening to? Anything new this week?
No, I mean, I was listening a little bit to the Red Dead Redemption soundtrack, which is phenomenal, but I'll go into that later, but nothing big.
What have you been listening to, man?
Patrick Ellers, our friend, he has a podcast that I just started listening to called Nintendo Cartridge Society.
He's been on Roguelike a few times
on our
Twitch show.
He's got
Roguelike.
Glasses, brown hair, mustache.
Cool guy.
He's a cool guy. Super cool guy. But that podcast, I really dig it.
Nice.
You know, I don't know. It's just... I just think they're very informative, and they are fun to listen to. They got good chemistry, and I don't know. I've been digging that. It's nice.
Stormy Boy 10 says Spyro comes out in 50 minutes.
Oh, Spyro comes out.
Yeah, remakes of those three games.
Yeah, no, that's idea. Exciting.
I've been listening to I've been in the mood to wear flannels. It's getting a little cold, so I've been listening to, like, a lot of folk music.
Oh, I get that.
Like some folk rock.
Dude, I'm all about that. I wore three layers this weekend. It was awesome.
Let's go, man. We got to get out there. We got to go camping.
Yeah, I'm waiting.
Let's stream it.
No, we can't. We won't be able to, even if we tried.
Why?
I don't think it'll work. You don't?
I found a spot that has service. I tested it.
Oh, I thought you meant, like, Yosemite or something like that.
Oh, no.
Someone in chat was asking, where's Zach? Zach is not feeling well today.
Zach's
he needs to get better.
Zach's got some issues.
He's supposed to have a finale tonight.
Trying to go to the doctor, maybe.
Yeah, he's trying to go to the doctor, so hopefully that doesn't affect it. He feels better, and it doesn't affect our programming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see. Wish Zach some well wishes.
Yes.
So let's shift into our first topic. This one's a bit of a sad one. You probably have all heard, and if you have not, hopefully I'm not breaking the news to you right now, but Stan Lee has passed away.
Yeah.
The legendary comic writer, creator of Marvel Comics. And
yeah.
It sucks.
Yeah.
It's hard not to talk about it. I feel like we sort of have to. If you haven't checked Twitter, you basically can read everything you need to hear about how awesome this guy was from all the awesome
He did
people
so many
Twitter.
Things, you know?
Yeah.
He started the editorial section?
No.
Mm-hmm. He started the editorial section where it was like, you can send us a letter and we'll like respond to it. It's like the first time that like people could feel like they actually can talk to like a creator.
Yeah, I can't think of a more influential person on our current industry of nerdy content. You know what I mean? I feel like he changed the game and... I feel like he is the face of what changed the game. You know what I mean?
He was.
And he was a great ambassador for it.
Yeah. You know, he had a lot of creative input. And in what really made him like so special, too, was his dialogue for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like the way he wrote like Spider-Man and stuff like that, the way they spoke, it was like so real.
And here we are now with dozens of TV shows and movies that we have him to thank for.
Yeah.
And his vision. So, I just can't imagine a more influential person to our whole industry. And
he lived a really good life.
It's hard to be, you know, you're
95, I think.
You're sad because you hate to see him go, but, like, what an awesome life he's lived, you know? 95 years old, it's hard to be upset about that. You get all you can out of life, and we're lucky to have him with us.
It's going to be real heart-wrenching when we see him. Cameo in the last two movies.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure he'll be
the
next two.
In the next two, at least confirmed.
Yeah,
he's got cameos that were already filmed, so we will still be seeing a little bit more of him on the screen.
This is supposed to be like the end of Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
The second one's supposed to be the end of that run of Marvel films until they go to the next, I guess, stage.
Yeah.
So it's
So, yeah, I mean, it sucks, but mad respect and, you know, Excelsior.
Excelsior,
But, yeah, let's shift on to, do you want to talk, what are we talking about first? You want to talk about my thing first?
Yeah, let's talk about your thing first.
Let's talk about my thing first. Let's get into it, because, yeah, I was saying that I've been watching Sabrina, the Chilling Adventures of
what?
Sabrina.
You said it so
gently.
No, I wasn't joking. No, I was just saying, okay, go on.
I've been watching Sabrina, The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina on Netflix, and I had watched the first episode when we talked last week. I'm now on episode, I think I'm on the last episode.
Yeah.
And I'm into it, and I'm, like, really into it. And the news that we've got today is that there is a Christmas episode that they have confirmed that it's going to be released on December 14th, titled Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, A Midwinter's Tale. So this is episode of 11. So basically what's going on right now with Sabrina is that they filmed 10 episodes, and that is volume one of the first season.
Yeah.
Netflix basically bought this show for 20 episodes, episode first season.
Okay.
They put out the first 10. That's volume one of episode one. So this will technically be episode 11. And then we will have 9 more episodes to come in volume two, and those are currently in production. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's
so
awesome.
We're halfway through episode
one. Similar to what they do with CW shows in a way. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're halfway through season one. I guess I just want to talk more about, not necessarily about this Christmas episode, which I will talk about a little bit, but more like the show and what it's doing. I like Riverdale. Like, we've talked about this. I like it okay. But I was disappointed at the end of Riverdale season one because I was expecting a zombie outbreak. And I was expecting this cool, you know, teeny, angsty, like, melodramatic, very, very just angsty.
Over the top,
stupid dialogue. I was expecting them to mesh it with, like, the afterlife with Archie Comics and, like, this whole, like, okay, this is all fun, and, you know, I'm dealing with girlfriend drama, and coach didn't put me in on the football game, but here's a zombie outbreak that I'm dealing with as well.
Uh-huh.
I was expecting that, and it never came. And I feel like they were setting that up tonally really well, and I was like, something's gonna go crazy, but it never happened.
Yeah.
But then Sabrina is doing that. It's combining, like, this really, like, campy, cheesy high school drama with very satanic shit.
Yeah.
And it's, like, it's pretty dark.
There's a whole exorcism episode, dude, where the guy's, like, throwing up everywhere and stuff and, like, projectile vomiting.
They
and...
literally say Hail Satan every episode.
That's on the Sabrina show.
Yeah. On the Sabrina show.
Which, I remember Sabrina just being, like, a comedy teen.
Right. And that was Sabrina the Teenage Witch, which is this.
Uh-huh.
That's what this is based off of, but it's way darker.
It's really good, dude. I like, you know, what I really like about it is that it feels pretty stylized, and there's something about, what's the actress that's playing Sabrina?
I can't remember her name. She was in Mad Men. She was the daughter.
Yeah, like, she has this, like, style that, it's kind of become the character. Like, her acting is, like, half smile, like kind of talking like this, you know. And but for some reason, it fits like
it's
this
very
character.
Like, it's very like prepared, theatrical, like detective kind of dialogue from like old film noir movies.
Yeah, yeah.
It feels very rehearsed. Like she knows exactly the smartest thing to say at the exact time, no thought. But it's yeah, it's definitely a style, and they lean into it hard.
Jacoke 3 in chat says, "Still strange to see a 70s like vibe and have iPhones and Macs in it." No,
I know, no, it, that too. I'm loving the style. I love that it feels.
It's like alternate universe.
It feels it feels like looking back in time that they've got their cell phone. So yeah, just it doesn't feel like our own world.
Yeah.
Because, like, this, where is this happening? Because it's not where we live. But, I mean, it's a cool style.
And it's still, like, pretty ground. Like, it's pretty bonkers, but I think it does a good job of being grounded in.
Yeah, they're mixing in some fun, like, actual witch history.
Which
you know?
Is, like, I don't know. I won't go into too much. But, like, my family is, like, pretty weird. Like, all this, we had a bunch of, like, Santarlias and stuff like
that.
Oh,
yeah, I've seen the way you react to a Ouija board.
Don't, you know, we don't want to, you know, you shouldn't mess that. But, like a lot of the stuff that, like, they would talk about is, like, similar to, like, you know, what they would like, what they were talking about on the show. I'm like, oh my god, this is all. This is real. Oh my god.
But okay. Here's a thought that I had that I don't think that anybody thinks this far, but we have to because we like we're all critics here. You know, we're critical of our media.
Yeah.
Basically, what they're saying is all of that witch stuff that happened in like the 1600s and 1700s. All of that witch hunting was real. They were witches, so it's kind of justifying these awful people that stoned women to death. It's saying, "Oh, they were right. they were right to hang those women from trees because they were witches." So it's a weird sort of thing that
it is
a weird message that you probably shouldn't even think this far into such a stupid show, but.
But it's fun.
A Christmas episode dealing with, like, satanic demons. Do you think Krampus is going to come into play?
Oh, God.
Oh, dude.
I kinda, Krampus is going to come down the chimney.
Is it too early for Krampus?
Let me just read the Netflix press release says, families gather around the Yule fire to sing pagan carols and tell ghost stories. And you never know what might come down the chimney. Dot, dot, dot. It's going to be Krampus. It's going to be Krampus.
Krampus
is coming,
baby. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Krampus is coming to Greendale. Woo, yeah.
I think it's a really fun show. I'm excited for this little Christmas one-off, and I'm excited for the next half of season one. Do you think that this show, I think it is, but do you think it's going to get a season two? I think it's seen enough success.
Oh,
right?
Dude,
yeah.
It's definitely going to get
season
two. Yeah.
I think it's seen enough success.
This is the first show. Like, it takes me. It's been like the only two shows recently on Netflix that they've released, including we kind of touched about this last time. But have been that I've like I got sucked into like kind of immediately with this one and Haunting at Hill House. Those two shows like they felt well paced.
Yeah.
They felt like they didn't waste time. There was a lot going on in a short amount of time. I don't know. I really enjoy that about these shows.
It did move very fast. I think the first episode, the dialogue. Almost made me stop watching, and I was like, I don't know if I can continue. But then by the second episode, I understood the characters more.
Yeah, same.
And I was just like, this style is they're just going so over the top with it that I can accept it.
And Stormy Boy says that they are filming season. Well, right now it's not season two.
They're
as
filming
Luke's
the
explained.
Second half of season one,
which
but
is
kind
volume
of like
part...
it's volume two of season one kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're filming that right now, so I'm wondering if they will do more after that. Basically, is however you want to phrase this season two or whatever or like volume. Three, do you think they'll do more?
Yeah, I think
they will.
Oh, I think and
I think we have more to see.
Even saw the comics that like they're kind of like making a push again with like they're just the old Archie Afterlife comics with Sabrina or whatever.
Yeah.
I forget what they're called. Like, I think it's just the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. But they were at my comic store and like they're kind of reintroducing it to people and it got me interested because I didn't realize how dark those comics were. And I'm like, this is pretty sick.
Yeah, I think what I want to see from this. Because I don't know how long the format can last to be interesting, because right now it's kind of set up as like a Monster of the Week sort of show. Mm. She deals with like a different demon or a different, you know, drama thing every week. I would maybe like to, I don't know how long I can watch that. Maybe we should see her age in real time. Like every season, it's a different year of high school or a different year at the academy. So that we get to see her grow as like a witch and see from start to beginning, she has actual character growth rather than us just spinning wheels.
Yeah.
It happens in these sort of like teen dramas, like they'll be in high school for 10 years kind of thing.
And there's a lot that they could play with, dude.
I think like, so. Like going to college and moving apart from Harvey and that kind of stuff. I think that could all be really interesting to see for how does a witch deal with that stuff? You know, how does a teenage half witch deal with that?
That and high school and Mixing your mortal life with your witch life?
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, so good.
You get me.
Isn't from the show, the original show, wasn't her aunts like hundreds of years old?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, are they still doing that here too?
Yep.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
All these witches are not immortal, but they live for a very long
okay.
time.
And was this on the original TGIF lineup? Was this on TGIF? I don't know if you...
It was...
No.
This is
a straight
not.
To Netflix series.
No, I know that, but the original.
You're
I
talking
mean.
About the Sabrina
yeah.
with
Melissa
her,
Joan
her,
Hart.
Melissa
yeah.
Joan Hart.
That was on the
I TV. Don't. I have no idea.
That was. There was an episode where they crossed over with Boy Meets World.
So,
and,
yeah,
so that's
now,
right. That's
now,
right.
Hear me out. I'm wondering.
And they went like back in time.
It was
Family Matters.
Yeah.
Boy Meets World.
Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point. Just real quick, Naeem. Sorry to cut you off. The different types of magic. They've already sort of set this up of like she's not ready to study necromancy.
Yeah,
know, that kind
yeah,
of
yeah.
thing. I'm like, that's season two. There's your season two.
Yeah.
It's like she's going to learn how to raise the dead. But that's not really spoilers, but I think that we might see something like that in season two is her learning new magics.
Okay. Now, I'm wondering if it's going to be a trend now, if they're going to start rebooting old TGIF shows into this more.
I don't think so.
Stuff.
This is based off the comics
matters.
Though.
Yeah,
you know?
This is in the same universe as Riverdale.
They're not
going
to
yeah.
bring back Steve Urkel and like they go, I'm a werewolf hunter. Did I do that? You know. Like.
Did I do that? That'd be the most ever. He's jacked right now. He's
yeah.
a very good looking
Jalela,
dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be awesome to see him
yeah.
come back. And yeah, they don't even have to say he's Urkel, but if that actor comes back as
yeah.
like a
we could all
just believe it.
Yeah. It's basically Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. It's like, no, he's coming out. And it's like Stefan, he comes out, you know. Oh yeah. Stefan.
Anyway, it's a really cool show. If you haven't checked it out, I do recommend this more than most of these sort of like CW type feel shows. I think it's really like a really cool juxtaposition, and it's what I've been wanting out of this kind of show.
Yeah.
This sort of like dark, angsty, mysterious show. Like they've actually just like they start hailing Satan, and I'm like, all right, I'm in. Like they fucking raise the dead and stuff. I'm cool with it.
Yeah, that's
so
fun.
Check it out if you want. But let's shift into the next topic. Naeem, do you want to talk about
yeah.
some Red Dead Redemption?
I haven't been able to talk about this for the last couple of weeks because of stuff happening. But yeah, I've been playing Red Dead Redemption 2 for the last couple of weeks, and I am loving this game.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's awesome.
Yeah. If you don't, guys don't know what the I'm gonna give you the rough estimate what the plot is. I mean, I'm pretty sure you know. But I don't know if you know.
I can't get past the snow part.
I do know a little bit of the plot.
Yeah.
You mean the tutorial?
I'll tell you why after
yeah,
Naeem.
Yeah. It's basically a prequel to happening in the original Red Dead Redemption, where the story takes place of dealing with what happened within Dutch's gang, which John was a part of. And it follows the story of Arthur Morgan, who's also a part of Dutch's gang, and he's like the lieutenant right behind or under Dutch. But I've been loving this game. I've gotten to chapter 6 so far. I just got to chapter 6 right before I came here, actually. I was playing a little bit before. But
how many chapters are there? Do you know?
I don't know.
Arsenal Roy 2K knows.
Arsenal
oh, do you not want to know?
I don't want to know. Cool. I'm so engrossed with the story that I just don't want it to end. It's jumping around. It recently been jumping around to something entirely different, which was fine to me, but it's been an enjoyable ride. It's like there's times where I have to catch myself like, am I watching a movie or am I, you know, playing a game? Like, I think the game is probably one of the best, if not the best, open world game I've ever seen playing. It's,
I wouldn't disagree.
Yeah. Like when I first jumped in, I thought I was like venturing through Yosemite.
Yeah,
honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
The story, Rockstar always, you know, does a great job with their stories.
They've got like they do really well with a bunch of different threads
yeah.
and believing that it's all in the same world.
Yeah,
yeah, they do.
Yeah, cinematic. Like I said, it's like watching a movie. Similar to like maybe watch Sopranos or Ozark if you watched that on Netflix.
Yeah.
Yeah, this game is phenomenal. The only few there's few hiccups. It's not perfect. It's not a perfect game. There's no perfect
it's
game.
It's not.
The controls are a bit stiff at times.
Mm-hmm.
I'm used to those control setups because I've been playing the original Red Dead, so I'm, you know, used to that
yeah.
way of shooting mechanics and whatnot. I think like games like Horizon Zero Dawn controls much better, but I think Red Dead is a much better open world game. That's probably my favorite, or probably in my eyes, the best open world game I've ever played.
Yeah.
And yeah, I know you two, you've played a little bit and
played a little.
Yeah, it starts out slow. I know at the beginning it starts out real slow and then it picks up as the game.
I can't
on.
Get past the snow part.
Well, yeah. Because
it doesn't save until you. I can't get past the cabin. Every time I try to pick up this game, right? I'm like, oh, sweet. Like, I got
Well, there's
time.
Other things that you told me that hinders that, too. That,
there are things. And yeah. This is why. Every time I try to play, and this is probably why I play a lot of Switch, is because, like, I share a TV with Katie and uh-huh. my girlfriend and our roommate.
Yeah.
And, like, every time I try to play this game, I have to start from the top. I'm like, oh, yeah, snow level. I'm going to finally get past the snow level.
Yeah.
And I get to, like, oh, I'm going to clear this cabin. Uh-huh. And then it's always like, hey, can I watch TV? I'm like,
you know you can manually save, though, right?
No.
You can also put your foot down and say, I got to finish this level.
Yeah. You can manually save.
Wait,
you
just, 10 minutes.
You can do that if you for sure want
to. Dude.
Yeah, you can. You can
I played through the snow level. Like, I'm going to go like four. No, I have my own.
Hey,
oh, okay.
Like four times. And, like, I just want to go. And, like, every time I try to play it, like, Katie will, I'll miss something because Katie's, like, trying to talk to me. And which is great. But, like, I'm like, dude, like, I just want to play my game. I can't get past the snow level.
That sucks, man. I don't have that problem.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, I play games from midnight to 4 a.m., so maybe you should try that.
That's what I might have to do.
So, talking about Red Dead, I've been watching my roommate play it a lot. He's actually been playing it a little bit more than I have. Mm-hmm. I think what the way that they go, you can go from town to town, I think basically the description of or the definition of what it means to be open world, it's like it needs to be this now.
Yeah.
I think they've set a new
bar.
Like if there's any freaking loading screen, like I don't want to play it.
Yeah,
if I can just ride my horse from town to town in this game, then you have to do something similar in every other open world game now.
They do some trickery, which when the game first starts up, it's pretty long for it to get into the game. That's what all the loading is happening with that. And to me, it's not even long.
It's not.
Once you get in the game, there's no loading scenes or whatever. The cutscenes happen, but they transition straight to gameplay so quick you don't even notice it.
Yeah.
Red Dead, Rockstar pretty much set the bar of how open world games should be, especially with Fallout 76 about to come out. And I have little faith in that game to be on the level of, say, Red Dead, as well as Bethesda always has glitches within those games.
So, yeah. I mean,
whatever, but yeah, they definitely set a bar, and people have to try to get to that bar, or try to get higher. I don't know how they will be, how they'll do it, but it's a phenomenal game. If anybody has not played it yet,
it's gotta be like crazy. I don't know what it takes to develop games in that way, and like what technology has come about, but it's crazy to check in on an NPC in one town and then go somewhere and then come back, and they are in like a logical place, maybe not the same place, but like it's not like, you know, a refresh or anything.
Yeah.
It's like these things are happening
all
around you.
Yeah. Whatever you do that affects a certain part will affect it down the line.
Like, for instance, I watched Ricky, my roommate, was playing, and he, like, walked into a saloon, and this guy bumped him, and, like, he's walking. This guy bumped past him. He's like, excuse me, partner, or something like that.
Yeah.
And Ricky, like, checks his money, and it's like, oh, shit, that guy just pickpocketed me.
Really?
So he, like, yeah.
Oh, that happens?
He runs out of the saloon, and it's like the guy is, like, half a mile down the road, and it's like, they're keeping track of where this guy is going, so you can go get your money
Holy
back.
Holy shit! I didn't,
and it's just
that's
like the
awesome.
Little things like that.
Yeah,
that's got to be so hard to develop that they're like keeping track of all what all the NPCs are doing, or not keeping track of, but like they're in the right place that they should be.
That's sick.
I didn't know that could happen.
You get bumped into, somebody might pickpocket you.
Wow.
I don't know if that might have just been like a specific, like, this starts a story, or that might happen all the time. I don't know.
Well, they have a lot of random encounters in that game that happens. Like, you could just run into somebody that's their horse might have died, and you got to take them to the nearest town or their home or whatever.
Yeah.
Or you just be riding around and you just randomly get robbed or sticked up by a rival gang. It just, a lot of stuff just randomly happens, and it's just so purely put in.
Yeah.
It just feels like it's smooth and it's just not tacked on. Like, everything feels like it's there for a reason, which is fucking great.
It's still got some really funny, like, just like weird, like, you're never gonna be able to get over this, like, in video games, just like weird encounters that you'll have. Like, this one guy was antagonizing me. I was in that town that sort of looks like New Orleans. This one guy was like antagonizing me, so I antagonized him back, and the things that we were saying together, like, they didn't make any sense. Uh-huh. He was like, "You better stop looking at me," and I was like, "You better get the hell out of here." He said something that was like, "You don't want to mess with me," and this exchange didn't escalate. We just kept saying like recycled lines, but eventually he's like, we're yelling at each other from like 30 feet away, and he runs. He's like, he runs away.
Yeah.
I antagonized him to fear. Yeah. But I was like,
"Oh damn!
You don't want to mess with me," and he runs away.
Yeah. There's a lot of random stuff, it makes me excited for Red Dead Online, which is supposed to be launching at the end of this month.
Oh, yeah. Dude, we're gonna role play the shit out of that.
There's so much, and it was so evident with the poker stuff we were doing during that stream a couple of weeks ago that we were just sitting there just playing poker for I don't know how long, but we were just having so much fun with that. So I can imagine us role playing or just playing online with people there, like the Hyper crew or Hyper.
Thumpers.
You guys, the Thumpers, just playing out there and just having fun.
Have they said how they're handling the multiplayer? Like, is it going to be you can team up into a co-op game, or is it going to be like there are open servers where several people can play together in this world?
I know there'll be gangs, so you can make a gang, and for example, if you want to make a Hyper Thumper gang, you can make a gang.
Yeah.
I think they might be following the trend of Grand Theft Auto 5, where if you get like a four players, you can jump on and do like hideouts or a hold up of a train or whatever. It's gonna be so. They're not telling us all the detail. They're keeping it hush hush. But
I'm happy either way. Like if I can play the game with like four friends, and just go through the story.
That's
awesome.
Definitely gonna be there.
Awesome.
That's definitely gonna be there.
And I assume they might make like community events or something. That. Here's a special multiplayer thing.
Right.
Naeem, you're out of frame.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, Adam.
Thank you.
This is what happens when you got a crew show. You can't see you can't see what's going on.
Any final thoughts on Red Dead?
Guys, I can't wait to play it. But the most I've played it so far is you guys talking in that South Park episode with the Chiefs like,
"Oh, did you
see
time
to go South home
Park
and play
episode?
Red
yes,
Dead Redemption
yes,
2.
Yes, they make like subtle like things in regards to Red Dead. I think I was watching that during the weekend. Yeah,
South Park is so good at like the subtle things that people do.
Yeah,
but every time someone would be like, "You're gonna go play Red Dead," and you'd be like, "Yeah," and they'd be like, "So good." that's always what people say about good things.
Well,
like,
boys,
good
we solved another case. Time to go rob a train.
Yeah.
I can't remember what he said, but he's like, "Yeah, I gotta go bust up a gang up in Strawberry." It's so funny.
As he's trying to leave, it's like, "Sir, we just got another call. Damn it!"
It's a good episode. If you haven't seen the latest episode of South Park, it's one of the better ones.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and shift into the next topic then, Matt. What are we talking about?
Yeah, guys. Well, we're talking about some gameplay. We're talking about cinematics and Netflix. Well, why don't we just combine them both, guys? As many of you know, we are getting a Super Mario movie from Illumination, and we're also getting the Detective Pikachu movie from Legendary, which the trailer dropped today, and you can see we actually did a full trailer reaction with me, Lucas, Emily, and Adam, which will drop later today on our Hyper's YouTube, so make sure to go check that out.
Very cool trailer. We had good things to say, so you're going to want to go see that trailer if you haven't seen it already.
Yeah, and like me and Emily, I played the game. Emily's watched the cinematic, so like we have a lot to say. And we didn't do spoilers because it looks like the game, the story from the game. So we didn't do spoilers, but we kind of cleared up some things for y'all. So make sure to check that out. But what I'm wondering is with these films that are coming out, these video game movies, do you guys think that we're going to see an influx of gaming, especially with Illumination's founder of Chris Meledandri? He said that that they are working with Miyamoto to create the Mario Bros. Movie, and that he's quoted saying, "I like that this was not done well the first time," and he went as far as to explain that he finds that Tainted Legacy more exciting than making another version of a film that was done incredibly well to begin with. So I'm wondering, like, with working in partnership, and that's what he said that they didn't do, is that they weren't working with the game developers. So do you think working with Miyamoto, with a game developer, will make the movie good? And what aspects do you guys think it will make it good?
I don't know if that's what it takes. Like, I don't know how necessary that is. I think it's honestly just like it needs a good team of writers and people that care about the product, and it needs a good team of screenwriters that care about the source material. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, it doesn't need video game writers to write the movie. It needs screenwriters that care about the source material that can work with the video game writers and translate it to on screen. I think that's often the problem, is that it feels like these movies are pretty poorly thrown together, either by screenwriters or directors that don't understand the source material.
Yeah.
Or it feels like they're trying to be too close to the source material. And it's like, these are completely different formats, you know what I mean? Like, video games and movies should not exist to be so close together. They need to have their differences.
I think so, too. And, like, what I find appealing about the Mario games that isn't the RPGs, I think the RPGs have really good storytelling, but they're kind of on a very, very, very grand scale that I don't think would lead to a good intro into a Mario cinematic universe.
Yeah.
Because it's just kind of a lot. But the biggest thing about Mario that I find appealing is play.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, whenever I'm playing with a friend at a friend's house or something, like, I know that, like, I want to be the one playing Mario. I want to be playing right now. Like, mm-hmm. And I think that's where a lot of, you know, that's where it's like, how are they going to be able to capture that playfulness on screen? And I don't think Mario's going to talk. I think they're going to put him in scenarios where other people will talk, kind of like the Minions. He might, like, say, like, woo, ha, you know, but
I think it'd be weird if he talked.
Yeah, I think so, too.
It would take the perfect actor. Hector pitches Jack Black. I think Jack Black could be a pretty – that would be a comedy, though.
Hector
yeah. pitches Jack Black as Mario, and I think Justin Long as Luigi. And he's got a pretty good pitch for a Mario movie. And it might be the one that's getting picked.
I don't think that's true.
Games turning into movies, is it's hard to cram – 18-16 hour average mm-hmm. game into like a 1.5-2 hour movie,
mm-hmm.
which yeah. a lot of movies that I've tried have obviously failed. I think with this Pokemon movie, it was so interesting. Is what I'm taking from watching that trailer is it's a mystery. It's just one mystery, right? Mm-hmm. From what I understand.
Yeah, it's one overarching thing, yeah. And that game is pretty short.
Yeah, so I think that will work in its favor, and people will love Pokemon. So I know. Domestically or in the box office, it will sell.
I think, yeah, I think so too, man.
But it's hard to do, like, big games that have a deep storyline with this. Like, for example, what's the game that they've done? I don't know how that Tomb Raider movie was.
I thought Tomb Raider, the new Tomb Raider, I actually enjoyed. I thought it was for a video game movie, it's the best one I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
I thought she was great as Lara Croft, but, you know, it was pretty standard.
Yeah.
But and it wasn't – but it was. I thought it was fun. Yeah. I didn't think it was bad.
And like Lucas said, they need to hire people that actually know this, the property, the product, actually understands the story, instead of just hiring just a ragtag random director that
mm-hmm.
could work but doesn't really read into the material, the source material, and doesn't any background research and whatnot.
Yeah.
Like, I know recently, a couple of months ago, they made this Uncharted fan movie.
Mm-hmm.
Which was really good. It was starring Nathan Fillion. Fillion. And it was short. Obviously, it was just a fan-made film, but that was really good. And that was an example of just taking the source material, knowing what you're doing, and putting it on the
That's and I think that there are games like that.
Yeah.
Uncharted, for instance. Tomb Raider, for instance. Mm-hmm. It's a linear story in the game, and it's already super cinematic.
Yeah.
It's basically just like, okay, let's just make that into a movie.
Yeah,
it's already there. But a game like Mario, or a game like, you know, up open world Pokemon movie, you don't know what to expect, but it feels like they're following that linear storyline from the video game. A game like Mario, though, it's like, what do you do with it? I think you have to sort of take from that, and it's like, I don't need to see all of these characters. Give me Mario and Luigi, and Mario is going to rescue someone, and that's it.
Yeah.
It needs to be that without a ton of cameos and a ton of, like, we have to cram this person in so they can get their screen time. Like, you got to keep it really simple, I feel like. I feel like that is the way to do it, or else it gets too complicated.
Yeah.
Because you have too many threads, and if you're just throwing them in for the references, then they're not going to get proper screen time, that kind of thing. You kind of got to introduce them and give them their respect maybe in the sequel.
Yeah, it's tough with a character that doesn't have, like, all of his stories are pretty straightforward. You know, I think, like, Odyssey was a good one, for example, but it was so simple. You're right. It was very, very simple, you know, but the ones that I really like are the RPGs are freaking awesome.
Yeah.
They're great stories, but like I said, I think that's too much.
Yeah.
I think that's way too much, man.
I think, like, if they were to do a Metroid Prime film, that's could be done.
Metroid Prime.
I think Metroid. Yeah. That actually leads me to my next question.
I saw Mega Man in the chat. That'd be an awesome one.
Yeah, like what games do you guys think would you want as a movie? What do you think could be a good movie adaptation?
Let's talk Nintendo specifically for now.
Okay. Yeah, Metroid. And Brie Larson, she wants to actually be Samus.
That would be awesome.
She tweeted out that she would love to play as Samus Aran. Mm. And but that's off the top of my head will be a great film if done right. I don't know any other Nintendo properties.
Mega Man, the style of Scott Pilgrim, says Gen Below Zero.
I don't hate
that.
I think that style could translate well to a lot of video games, of just leaning into it, the video game style.
Yeah.
Just saying that this is a video game. Someone's playing you, sort of the Wreck-It Ralph model as well.
Yeah.
Luigi's Mansion. That's a great idea. A horror movie, but it would be like a silly, like Haunted Mansion type movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you could do a good Zelda movie for sure. And
oh yeah.
Weren't they actually in a Netflix show? Oh, they canceled it.
I think they canceled
it. Awesome, like,
did you guys ever see
big budget high fantasy
movie? Here's an example of like Miyamoto made like a Pikmin fan movie. Or you know, he made like a Pikmin movie. Mm-hmm. It was like a short. It was only available for My Nintendo, but now you can watch on YouTube. It's really, really good. Mm-hmm. If they just focus on like the biggest things about these characters is their facial features and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like if you're able to convey those emotions and stuff through that, I think you're gonna be fine.
Yeah.
You're gonna be okay.
Yeah.
You know? Like I said, I agree with you. I don't think you need a big story. I think you need charm.
You gotta keep it simple for the start and just you know, there could be a Nintendo cinematic universe, honestly.
I think so too.
And you make just a bunch of simple movies that tie into each other.
Yeah.
Leading up to Super Smash Bros. Ultimate.
Honestly,
the movie.
Honestly, I think Star Fox would be awesome.
Oh, Star Fox
would
be great.
Star Fox would be a legit, it would be like a pilot movie. You know what I mean? Like, he there's already a whole story there. He's got, you know, like Andross, the big bad. Like, I think Star Fox would be a really cool, like, kind of Independence Day kind of movie.
We could make a Little Mac movie, too.
Yeah.
Punch Out Boxing movie? Anybody? Is that just me?
Sure.
I love that. Oh, man. Like a video game styled boxing movie? I'm in.
Yeah, but do you guys think that games are, you know, are they meant to just be that? At the end of the day, should we keep trying to make video game movies, or are video games just meant to be games?
Because with video games, you want to just play it, and that's the interactive with video games. You just want to play it. If you watch a movie, yeah, it will do fine, but then as opposed to you playing a game, it might be more memorable to you to actually play it.
Because it's storytelling through gaming.
Yeah. It's passive versus active.
Yeah.
I think that stories are stories, and if you can find a way to translate it to the medium, then yeah, absolutely, video games can be anything. Video games could be books if you want them to be. Like, I think you could write a book about a video game.
Yeah.
But it's really just translating it to that format, which is, I think, where people go wrong. Because you can't just, you know, you can't just cram in a video game into a movie. Video game or movies are about, you know, typically in these video games, it's going to be the hero's journey story that you're going to have to follow that format. If you start throwing in too much junk, it's going to feel all over the place. But you can do that in a video game. You can throw in all kinds of junk because you're pleasing the active person that isn't playing. They're playing a game over weeks sometimes.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's that problem of the translation is difficult, I think.
I think so too, man. I think so too. Man, what a.
But yeah.
We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
And it's not our job to figure it out.
Exactly.
We'll sit here and we'll critique.
Yeah, we'll sit here and we'll just give our thoughts because we're just people.
Yeah, we're just people.
Just like you.
We don't have to care what we think.
Yeah.
I guess that's pretty much it, y'all. You guys want to talk about just some
There's something else
stuff?
That kind of, while we're on this kind of similar topic, something we didn't get to talk about that I wanted to was they announced a live action adaptation of My Hero Academia, like a movie live action adaptation. Mm-hmm. I think Legendary is doing it.
Okay.
And I think it's like, I'm so against it. I don't mind. Look, I don't mind adaptations. Like for example, I don't think the Death Note movie was like an offensive movie or anything because it's an adaptation set in Seattle. It's literally, it's an adaptation.
Yeah.
But like it was a bad movie.
It was bad.
I think that's sort of what we were talking about is that there is so much going on in My Hero Academia that you can introduce in an anime because this is. Like, we know when we start watching, there's going to be 100 episodes of this. We're going to get to learn about those characters.
Yeah.
But if you throw all those characters into a movie where we have an hour and a half to digest or 2 hours, like, there's just going to be a lot of just, like, references to characters that people are going to want to see, and they're not going to get their due diligence. And that's why I think that the whole, like, the Marvel Cinematic Universe and what DC is trying to do as well, that's the way to bring in so many characters.
Yeah.
They figured it out, is you just introduce and you have these. So maybe this could be the story of Midoriya as a very young boy, and it ends with his, like, getting in and getting the All Might power.
But I just, this is so frustrating to me, is that this anime is only a few years old. Mm-hmm. It's literally a cash grab, and like no one wants it. I think it's such a pure, innocent show to get caught up in this fucking weird, corrupt Hollywood, and that's probably just me. But I think that show represents so much good, and I hate it to get this weird treatment from people who don't understand the content.
Yeah, it feels like here's what I would have done. You know, if you give me $1 billion, here's what I'll do. You make the One Punch Man movie. I think that's ready for a movie.
Yeah.
Like season one could be translated directly into a movie.
Yeah.
Just a guy who has superpowers in this world of people with superpowers. He doesn't know how he got them, and he's the best, and he's the most powerful, and he doesn't even care. And then by the end of season one, there's like a real thing that affects him.
Yeah.
And he has to like actually care about something.
Right.
It's easy.
And this is why I brought up Death Note, because like all these characters' names they're all Japanese names except for like All Might, who's actually All Might, he transferred to America, so he is Japanese as well.
Yeah.
But like this is the case of where I would have, like, it's not an adaptation at this point. Then like they should, like if they do this, they should be casting like people like, you know, like Japanese people and stuff like that, because it's set in that world.
Right.
It's set over there. So look for, like, if you're going to make an American version of it, like, look for Asian-American actors. Look for people. Like, take this opportunity to do something like that.
Yeah, do something cool and change stuff.
If you see, like, Brad Pitt come out,
or Scarlett Johansson.
I'm Toshinori, you know?
You know Scarlett Johansson's
pretty much.
I would never, for me personally, I would never bash the actor for doing that.
Sure, yeah. Because they're being offered the role.
Katie's an actress. We believe that anyone can be an actor, can portray anybody, because you're acting. You're putting yourselves into someone else's shoes. So, you know, like I would never blame the actor for taking a role.
Right.
I would never, you know, personally.
You can blame someone, but it's hard to blame the actor. The actor is the one that's trying to make money, that is offered a role and they have to accept. Oftentimes the actor hasn't even done their research.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Oftentimes, it's like, if you guys look at an Actors Access thing, it's like, oh, we're looking for a person named Lucy.
Yeah.
And then you read a script, you don't know what it's for.
Yeah.
You do it, you know what I mean? You get booked, and then of course you're gonna take it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Do you want to make $1 million, or do you not want to make $1 million? The one where I make $1 million.
Yeah.
Let me do that one.
Yeah. Scarlett Johansson for All Might.
I would not be fucking surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know.
It's a weird world.
I'm not. It's a weird line to walk, and it just feels so forced right now.
It does.
I don't want that. I really don't want it. It's such a pure show, and it's not a Dragon Ball type of show. Like, it's not just a bunch of, like, you know, just powering up. It's about like someone who came from, like, I don't know, I don't want to see Midoriya in a big old fight, because he's just learning. He's a little kid. He's like a high schooler.
Yeah.
He's just learning. I don't know.
I think they did a Fullmetal Alchemist live action film that's on Netflix, as well as they did maybe Case Closed live action film, and I heard they were both bad. So seeing this, I immediately don't have much faith in it. So
right.
Yeah.
How old is Midoriya whenever he first goes to the academy?
He's a freshman in high school.
Right.
So the series starts off with him ending middle school.
It's another thing, like we sort of talked about this in the Detective Pikachu trailer reaction, that I don't know how this looks stylistically and how they translate. Like, do you want to see a 13, 14-year-old boy whose body is just beaten to shreds after he uses All for One? Like, that's disgusting. Like, you do not want to see that. That's disturbing.
Yeah.
But you can watch that in an anime. You know? It translates differently in a cartoon. So
One for All.
Or in animation. Sorry, yeah, One for All.
All for One. It's so confusing.
It's all the same, dude. It's all the same to me.
But I feel that, dude. Like, it's
weird. I don't know how they're going to translate that besides casting, like, a 25-year-old actor and saying, this is a freshman.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
Which
yeah.
is probably what
yeah.
they'll do.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
What a bummer.
It's been a good talk.
It's been a really good talk.
I feel like we're done here. Do we want to talk about Let's go over some questions in the chat room.
If you guys have any questions,
let's chat. Any good news that we should talk about? It's gonna be another Dragon Ball Evolution problem, says Vash. Do you guys like that movie?
No.
Did you like that dude? Did you like Spike as Piccolo?
Did you like Avatar? Oh god.
Oh man. Oh man.
There's stuff I want to talk about, but we can't do it yet because, what happened this weekend got me really excited.
Oh yeah.
That meeting.
Yeah, we had a.
We can talk about it.
We had a pretty good meeting this weekend about codename
WH40K. Yeah.
Pretty good meeting this weekend. Hello, if you're new here. we like to play Warhammer 40K among other games, but we had a meeting about Warhammer 40K this weekend.
Yeah.
Because we want to start playing as a weekly Warhammer show.
Yeah. And we want to actually show you what we've been working on, but it's a lot of work.
We haven't been playing Warhammer on Thursdays for fun.
We're getting very close. Maybe you saw our pictures on Instagram and Twitter, but we had...
That wasn't even all of them.
We had probably 1,000 Warhammer figures here of just like, this is what we're going to play with on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah.
It covered the whole table, which is rare. This is how big this table
is. It's a huge table, and we covered it all.
Yeah.
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 But I'm excited for that, dude. I think it's going to be really good. I think everyone's going to really enjoy it.
Yeah.
What else have we got going on this week?
I mean, right after this, you're going to be playing some Magic, right?
I'm going to do some Magic.
Magic on the Twitch channel.
Magic the Gathering Arena is finally giving us PvP, so we can play with the chat. And Zach will be doing that, I believe, Friday.
We got 10 Candles, our 10 Candles horror RPG tonight.
Yeah, the finale.
The finale of all time.
Yeah.
Then we've got some heavy hitters. We're going to be playing the big old tabletop game Heavy Hitters tonight, which is I like to hit big dingers in that.
Now you're going to play, right?
Yeah, I'll play.
You'll get to learn what a big dinger is.
Yeah, you don't know what a big dinger is.
I mean, going straight from what you just said to my mind is something I hope that what you're not referencing what a big dinger is, but we'll see.
Yeah.
It's a big old dinger.
And guys, we've been doing our Troll Hunters RPG with the crew. It's our 5th edition RPG, D&D 5th edition RPG on Fridays at 7 p.m. Pacific time. We make sure to tune in for that. It's a lot of fun. We hunt trolls, and you guys are the trolls. You can send in stuff that makes us hunt you.
But I think that's it for this week.
He left it dead. He left it dead, too.
Oh, yeah, that's on the last
episode. This is our Call of Cthulhu,
which is the last episode of that as well.
And then next week's Thanksgiving.
Pretty big week. Next week's Thanksgiving. Yeah, we got to figure out our hyperdrive schedule. Not sure when we're going to do that. It's probably going to be the weekend after Thanksgiving. But we're going to figure that out, and we'll let you know.
Yeah.
ASAP.
Yeah. Well, we're going to end it a little short today. We got to set up the streaming station really quick so we can play, but we're going to cut to a quick little screen for y'all.
So that's the end of the opening shift, which means we are officially open for business. And that's not really how opening shifts typically work, but it's the end of the podcast opening shift, but the beginning of our opening shift. This is the opening shift, but now we're going to start our shift. We're open for business.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.